And welcome to hour number two and the first hour for some of our affiliates. It's Rosie on the House, your Arizona Saturday morning tradition for 28 years. It is the second Saturday of the month, so we are talking trees with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service. You join the conversation by calling 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. We have a new text feature. You can text in your tree question at 411-923 as well. And as always, you've brought a tree of the month with you this morning, Mr. Eisenhower.
I always bring a tree in my back pocket. This week, we're looking at pine trees, but one in particular that I really like is the Afghan pine. It's the Elderica pine. It's also known as the Mondale pine, and it's a beautiful, durable, drought-tolerant tree native to Afghanistan. So, you know, when we get non-native trees brought into Arizona, you know, a good place to go to get a tree that would be adaptable to a climate like ours would be a place like Afghanistan, which, by the way, is about as far around the earth as you can get from Phoenix, Arizona. My parents spent a couple of years in the Peace Corps in Afghanistan back in the 70s. And when we were planning our trip to go there, we realized it was about as far as you could put a pin on the other side of a globe from Phoenix, Arizona. It really is about as far away as you can get. But
so you're saying all those stories about digging to China were false? We'd really dig to Afghanistan?
You dig to Afghanistan from Arizona. You got that. Yeah, it's a really amazing place because elevation-wise and temperature and all, it's a desert climate. And those Afghan pines do so well here. They just love our alkaline, basically a more alkaline soil. They do well in drought conditions, and they're a beautiful tree.
And evergreen, so it'll be green all year.
Evergreen all year long. Grow to about 50 to 60 feet at maturity, about 30, 40 feet wide. And they're great for windbreak. I love pines. I've got several in my own yard. I have Aleppo pines at my house, which are different because they don't maintain that kind of Christmas tree shape throughout their whole life like Afghan pines do. If you want more of a pyramidal-shaped tree, an Afghan pine's your choice. If you want one that has more of a rounded tree form, you get an Aleppo pine because it loses its apical dominance. It allows the side branches to kind of compete for dominance in the canopy once it gets a little more mature. So if you want a more rounded tree form, you get the Aleppo pine.
The south side of our property, I want to put a row of pine trees. You visit, or you're driving around parts of Arizona, and you come across horse properties, and a lot of horse properties have these pine tree lines. I'm like,
sure.
Oh, that would just look great on ours.
And
I've been looking for Aleppo. But everywhere I go, they all are trying to push me to Afghan. No, you don't want Aleppo. You want Afghan. You want Afghan. You want
Afghan. Think, well, if you're looking for a windbreak, they are more uniform in size and shape. Because the Aleppos lose their apical dominance, they get a little bit wild and rangy. They're not quite as easy to predict the size and shape. But yeah, we have some neighbors behind us who have a line of six along the back of their property, and they're beautiful. They just are beautiful. A privacy screen, windbreak, and they're used quite extensively for windbreaks around the country.
What I know y'all aren't really in the nursery business, but any idea what a starter Afghan pine runs?
Oh, you're going to probably be paying $100 for a 24-inch box tree, you know, somewhere in that range.
My special guest is raising her hand
over here. This is Sarah Maitland. And
you've been with Integrity Tree for?
Since April.
Since April. And what brought you to Integrity Tree, or where did John steal you from?
Well, John and I have been colleagues for many, many years. And he asked me to come and join Integrity Tree to develop a plant health care division for the company.
And she was raising her hand regarding you have a comment on Afghan pines?
Oh, yeah. It's going to cost you more than $100 for a 24-inch box.
Oh, okay. All right. I guess I don't
know. You trim them.
You preface that remark by saying you don't know much about nurseries. You're right. I'm not a nurseryman. So what would a typical tree cost installed?
If they have a free planting at some of the local nurseries, it'll run anywhere from $200 to $500 installed.
So I was way off.
That's all right. We're allowed air here, but that's why we bring in special guests and great
hosts. That's right. I'm so happy to have Sarah join us last April. I was so happy to have her. She's got a great background in horticulture, and she's particularly her area of expertise is in spray technologies, how to, you know, in applying chemicals for disease and insect problems. And we have not had a plant healthcare division up until just now, just this last year. And so Sarah's come to help us set that up.
Well, then I'll ask this question. One of the reasons a lot of people are trying to push me towards the Afghan pine as opposed to Aleppo, as they said, well, they've got the Aleppo has this pine blight. You don't want to ever risk getting that. Is that a disease you're familiar with?
It is, and it isn't really much. Well, you wouldn't really call it a disease. It's really affected by winter rains, and that's what we find is the most common cause of it.
And what does it do to the tree?
It just gives a real aesthetically bad look of brown leaves to the foliage or needles.
And is that lack of winter rains or excess of winter
rains? It is. It's lack of winter rains. It's because the winter range or the normal rain patterns for that tree, it needs winter rains.
So this year, it's probably a pretty good year for
it is.
For those Aleppo pines.
Right. The Aleppo is, again, from Syria, Aleppo, Syria, and it also is in drought-tolerant climate, but they get Mediterranean winter rains, which are uncommon here. So if we don't have a wet fall and winter cycle exactly here in Arizona, it's probably best to try to supplement your water on all of your pine trees in the winter to try to simulate what they normally are used to in their native climate. So it'll help to ward off those blight symptoms.
And what will this rain do for our trees? I mean, I can't remember the last time we had 4 days where it rained 4 days in a row. I mean, it might have been overcast and rained on the first and third, but 4 consecutive days of rain in Arizona.
Well, it's really good. Not only is it irrigating the plants deeply and also giving them some of that winter rain, it's humidifying the air. It cleans our landscape. It's wonderful to see the landscape just sparkle after a nice rain. But there are some real chemical things that are happening, too. It's leaching a lot of salts out of the soil. It's leaching any toxins that are in the soil. It actually has an acidifying effect as well. Sarah was saying, what is the common pH of rain?
The pH of rainwater is about 5.5. And with that, it really starts to lower the pH and release some of those tied-up nutrients that aren't available at high pHs.
You know, our common pH here in Arizona is between 7.5 and 8. So when you get a 5.5 pH rain, it helps to buffer the pH. And a lot of times, because of our high pH, some of the nutrients that are in the soil are chemically unavailable because they're tied up due to that high pH. So that temporary buffering of the pH by rainfall releases some of those nutrients to become available to the plants.
How long can I turn off my irrigation system?
About another month.
that long.
Well, Rosie was saying earlier, you know, he wonders how deep that saturation was. And I bet it's every bit of 2 to 3 feet of saturation depth right now, which is about as deep as you need to water even your largest plants. You know, and in some places, I'm sure the saturation depth is even deeper than that. So that's great. It's good
we have an ongoing challenge with our listeners to all cut water consumption by 10%. And I think most people could do it if they would just react to weather patterns like this and turn their system off.
Yeah, turn them off. Yeah, somebody was saying to me yesterday that, you know, they looked out in the front yard and it was raining and their sprinklers were on the lawn and they quick ran out and set through it to the rain cycle. So yeah, we did the same thing a few days ago. Turn your timers off, and don't forget to turn them back on. I've done that too. You turn it off, and then I remember a month or two later that I forgot to turn the thing back on when I see my plants wilting in March. So yeah, be careful.
Don't do that. Well, we have a lot of other bullet points to cover, but we're here to take calls as well. 1-888-767-4348. As we take a call, that's a great opportunity to get on the line. We're going to start with John and Mesa on a pine tree. Good morning, John.
Good morning. I was wondering if I could talk to John Jay about my Aleppo pine. I've got some. I got three actually big ones, and one of them is getting a lot of little dead areas all over the place where the needles are turning brown. Is that blight you were talking about, or what is that?
Yeah, very likely it is. You know, the blight symptoms can be a flagging, we call it, where there's certain parts of the tree, certain branches that actually start to die back. We even see entire branches of pines die back, the rest of the tree being completely unaffected, and you'll see certain branches die back. We've also had a problem with some mites. which have gotten into the trees. And usually as temperatures start to drop, usually in October, we'll see some mites get into some of our trees. We've been kind of tracking that for several years since the first major outbreak about 10 years ago in the Phoenix area. Saw hundreds and thousands of trees across the Phoenix landscapes get infested with these mites, but they seem to be have kind of moved on, and we haven't had a recurring problem. We were afraid that they were going to be laying eggs, and then we'd have an annual outbreak in our trees subsequent to that, but we haven't. So that's something to be alerted to. But generally, trying to improve the cultural conditions around the trees, of course, fertilizing, and then that, as Sarah mentioned, trying to improve the watering in the fall and winter is really helpful. The symptoms you're seeing, though, are likely from problems that developed a year or so ago. So, you know, there's nothing you can do right now except to trim out some of that dead wood and then try to get on a better fall and winter irrigation cycle.
We appreciate the call, John, and good luck with that. Any other trimming while we're talking trimming? Is this a good time?
Yeah, this is really a great time to be doing all your stone fruits, all your pear trees, your elm, your ash, all of your trees that have dropped their leaves. This is ideal time to do the pruning. If
it needs it. It may not need it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But if you're going to be trimming those deciduous trees, this is a time. Mulberries, chinaberry, pistache, pecans. Lots of trees that have lost their leaves this time of year. A good time to get in there and do those.
We're talking trees with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, along with his tree health specialist. Is that the official title?
Plant health care director.
Plant yes. health care director, Sarah Maitland, at 1-888-767-4348 to join the conversation.